If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Regretsville is brought to you by the Forever Dog Podcast Network.
Find us and more original comedy podcasts at foreverdogpodcast.com.
And great news, because now Regretsville is on Spotify.
Oh my
God. You have no excuse. The excuse is gone now, my friend.
110. Spotify's at your fingertips.
Yeah, I mean, really.
You can listen to all episodes of Regretsville there, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and SoundCloud.
And if that's not enough and you're going, but I miss them, what about the other 6 days? Guess what? We also have a Twitter. Tweet at us. Follow us at Regretsville Pod. And you know what? We might just tweet back at you.
Oh my God. I mean, tell us our regrets. We're obviously like are really apt to like handling
that. We can handle that. I mean, you know that we've got how many characters? 140. I mean, there's only so much we can say on Twitter, but we will do our best.
On Twitter.
On Twitter.
Yeah, so follow us. Hi, and welcome to Regretsville. I'm Tracy Soren.
I'm Jesse Jaws. Together, we're Soren and Jaws, and you might be out there on the streets.
Sorry, the streets.
I don't know.
She always starts with the streets.
Because that's where people are. Maybe you're living on the streets.
Jesse doesn't know anywhere else but the streets.
Maybe
I love
you're
it.
Sitting on the stoop. Maybe you're at a park and on a bench, and you're like, in your home. Don't I have a dog, though?
The dog,
why
too.
Why don't we have a dog? Anywho, and you're out there, and you're like, I live my life, YOLO, like, no regrets. And to that, we say, not true.
That's true.
A load of crap, and you better be looking back and looking at your life and going, hello, I have some changes to make.
Knock, knock, which door should I open today?
Ooh, yes.
We have a wonderful, she is.
Oh, this guest.
She'll put a smile on your face from the minute you walk into I walk into the room, I see her, I get a smile.
Absolutely.
Her name is Caitlin Brodnick.
Yes.
And guess what?
What?
Hi, Caitlin.
Hi! When can I say hi?
Hello.
Hello.
So hard to be quiet.
She has a book that came out. She wrote an actual
crazy
motherfucking book.
Insanity.
And it came out this week. And it's called Dangerous Boobies, Breaking Up With My Time Bomb Breasts. And guess what? It has a foreword by Crazy Ex-Girlfriend's Rachel Bloom. I mean, the bitch be famous.
Hello.
You know. Tell us about this book, my friend, before we jump into our regrets.
It's just into good the to mic, be
into
here.
The mic.
Good.
Yes.
So joyful.
I'm so happy. I don't know where to go.
She's playing to the whole room.
You know what? You guys, the air conditioner, the juicer, we're all in this. Yes, I wrote a book. I don't know how. I'm very dyslexic and I barely read.
I love that.
But please buy my book. It's a good book. It's a good book. Well, everybody says it's the best compliment I've ever gotten was like, it's a fast read. I read it in like a day or two. And I was like, that's the best compliment.
Yeah.
You had to sit through a book and like have to reread because you don't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, that's my worst nightmare. This is literally the Washington Post go, it's like a text message from your best girlfriend. And I was like, the whole book is a text message?
I love that. Fabulous.
Yes.
I mean,
did read that review.
It does make me sound stupid.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It doesn't make me sound like I know any vocabulary, but it's fine.
It was a good review. Vocab. And I love her. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's great.
That's amazing.
It was great.
So nice.
It was a great review. You're hot off the press.
It was so nice. I love Deb. She wrote it. She was like the kindest person in the world. And I just like couldn't believe it all happened. And that's the thing with the book stuff is that you go out and you ask everybody to review. You ask for all this press. And a lot of people turn you down.
Right.
And I was really depressed like the first week before anything came out because we got just a million no's.
Mm-hmm.
But the people I was working with, the publicist and the people from the publisher were like, well, a lot of times it's surprising. Like they won't necessarily respond to you or check in because I guess that's like not really correct, like journalistically.
Yeah.
Like you don't want to like keep telling people like, "Hey, look, we're writing about you and we like you." It's like you don't want to favor the subject.
Mm.
So then things kind of popped out, and that was so exciting and lucky because I was like, It was real dark for a second.
Yeah.
It was real hard when everyone said no.
Yeah.
But then it's like, whatever. I'm not really writing this for any of that. I'm writing this for like a girl who's in my exact position and needs it. So the book is a tool for anybody or anybody in who has a family member or friend that would be possibly considering a preventative double mastectomy as a result of being BRCA positive for the genetic mutation that just really raises your risk for breast cancer.
Yeah.
And it's not the best decision for everyone. I don't like say everybody should do it, but if you are considering it or you want to know your options or you just like want to read about somebody's experience, and it's literally all out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I will not shut up. So
and we love it.
Yeah. I do love that.
And that's TMI. You know,
not
my grandmother goes, it's quite raw. I was like, yes, Grammy.
Yes. Can you write that on Amazon?
Yes. She said she did. And then she hit send and she doesn't know where it went.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So we don't know what she hit.
Yeah.
You know.
No one knows.
No
but
one
she
knows.
Tried. And that's really.
It was really sweet.
Very sweet.
Oh, I love that.
So sweet.
I'm very excited to read this book. Because I remember you were literally one of the first storytellers I've ever seen when I started doing comedy.
How
sad. At a school night.
I've been around for a while.
At a UCB school night.
Oh, my God. Was that a UCB? Justin Purnell?
I don't even remember who was hosting it, if you want me to be honest. It was like 7 years ago.
Yeah, Justin. Yeah, killing it.
But you were the first one.
Cool. Thank you.
You must have made an impact, girl.
And now you have a book.
And now you have a book because you're famous, and that's what happened.
No. It was literally like there's nothing else out there. Like, there is nothing comedic or lighthearted about the BRCA mutation. There's a ton about breast cancer.
Right.
But then also, I was like, well, I can't read, like, another medical abstract or, like, something else on Google or WebMD myself till I'm sick. Like, I wanted something that was, like, a girl's guide. Like, if Mindy Kaling wrote a cancer book.
Yes.
Like, I just wanted something easy because I think the topic is so overwhelming. So if you can get someone to at least laugh a little bit while it's happening. And I do have a lot of incredible doctors, some incredible scientists and minds that have direct quotes from them and they reviewed it from it. Yeah, because I was like, I'm not a doctor.
Right.
That's
clear.
So good
I
to know.
Don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. Let's make that clear. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yes.
But I'll talk about all my feelings. And then I have doctors in there saying, like, well, this was actually what was going on. This is technically what happens. Or even one doctor was like a sex therapist. She was like, this is normal for patients after surgery because your body changes. And it was just cool. And I realized the other day, it's all women. I only asked women. Yeah. I only had women put in their input, and I love it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so there is like some guidance in the book. So it's not just like Caitlin just like talking about her feelings. There's a lot of feelings. But
well,
right.
And as there should be.
Yeah.
As there should be.
Honestly. And then a lot of tit jokes because everybody
of course.
Loves boobies.
Oh, everybody
yes,
loves
I love it.
Boobs,
funny.
Tits,
so many
breasts.
Tit jokes.
I mean,
so
whatever
many.
You call them.
But good for you. I mean, look, you did your research in terms of talking to people. You also did have to
you
go through everything.
Life.
You lived your life.
You know.
But I meant like you talked, you also got, you know.
You also had doctors.
You also had doctors.
A little input. I love
so
that
you
for you.
Really did it.
I did it. It's crazy. It's a really long process and it's completely, you have, it's the only thing you have to do 100% on your own. Like, I feel like for me as a comedian and like a lot of us are performers, like it is usually a group project in some sense. Like you can write a pilot, but you have five people look at it.
Right.
Yeah. Or you do a sketch and you write with somebody. So one of the first drafts I sent to the editors and they're editing it and they sent back something that was just so funny. Like the way they changed the word was so funny. And I was like, ooh, these are funny editors. Like this is exciting. It was such a bonus because I just felt so lonely writing it.
Yeah.
So then I emailed them for the next edition and I was like, so I wrote this part, gritty, spankable slut. My husband thinks it's demeaning, but I think it's kind of fun. What do you think? And then I got an email back and they're like, Caitlin, this makes the editors very uncomfortable. Because, like, I was thinking it was, like, a pitch meeting.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, sorry, you have to make the choice. And I was like, oh, this isn't UCB.
Oh, God.
Like, this isn't just Sketch 101. Like, they were, and I was like, okay, fine, I'll say, you know, appealing spankable slut.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It doesn't have to be gritty. I'll take
okay,
the word
Okay, fine.
Out.
I get it. You're uncomfortable.
We'll do anonymous vote.
Yeah. Okay. But I thought it was so funny. They were like, girl, back up. You got a little too comfortable.
Oh, well,
in a kind way.
In a very
kind nice way.
Oh, publishers are the kindest. Editors
we
are
know.
Kind. I watch younger. I know what's happening.
Yeah, we watch
us.
Younger,
okay.
So we
you
know.
What?
You.
You know.
We know. So exciting.
What a time.
Good for you.
We're very excited for you.
I'm excited to be here.
And you're excited?
Just to be a part of this, like, little, this, like, world is just very fun. Because I listen to you guys. And you know what I really loved? on one of the podcasts, an older one. Yeah. Jess, you were saying how you can't figure out people's names, and if you have a name in your head, it's stuck. That is my life.
Yeah,
I think it's a dyslexic thing.
It is.
To be honest.
I am dyslexic. It is a dyslexic thing.
She's not right.
Yeah,
it's not fair.
And you hold on to that.
Yeah,
and then I offend people for their whole lives.
Oh, I am only offending people.
And people say to me like, "That hurts," and I'll be like, "I'm so sorry," and then I will say it again.
I know.
Because then I remember,
so
like,
hard,
"Don't
Johanna.
Say that."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Don't say that. Don't say that." And then that's the first thing that comes out.
Yeah. Ugh, it's a tragedy. And sometimes I'm like, "This is right. Thank God." You got it. And they're like, so that's what I said not to say. I'm like, oh my
but I
God.
Will say, if anyone does that, when people are like, don't do this, you're like, I'm gonna do it.
I am like, a rut row, we in trouble.
Yes, but it's worse for you guys.
Thank you.
It is.
Yeah, yeah, it's cuckoo.
It only happens to me when people are like, it's pronounced this, not this. And then my head goes, oh mm-hmm. God. But if someone just tells so but you get it at all levels.
At all levels.
Yeah, I have fun every time.
Everything.
Every time I'm having
a offend
a good
amount of women.
I love to say what I say and offend who I want to.
See who sticks around.
And that's
it's
the thing.
It's a real test.
I'm like, who's going to stay? Who's going to let me butcher their name for the rest of their life?
Yeah.
Who's going to invite me to the holidays? Lashana Tova.
Lashana Tova. Thank you so much.
Can you believe all of our listeners?
Rosh Hashanah is tomorrow.
Is among us and upon us.
We got to get our regrets out because, you know, it's going to be Rosh Hashanah, New Year for the Jews, and then Yom Kippur.
And then Yom Kippur. Mm.
Which we, you know, our Day of Atonement.
Day of Atones.
Let's start off with our regrets of the
week. I mean, we're warming up. Tracy and I came in. Hot
and
off of
you know
a,
if you want
train.
To know our mutual regret of the week that we'd ever fucking trust the MTA.
They were trash today.
Rude and trash. Okay.
And you can tell them I said that.
Yeah. And raise your speakers on the train.
Okay, because I'm not okay with it. And
then don't kick people off when they're already. I can't.
No, I'm not going to go there. I don't want to.
So we were hot.
It
was deathly hot. Anyway, September.
Deathly hot.
Deathly. Okay. So we do, as you guys know, a regret of the week, as you guys know, unless you're joining us for the first time in this episode, which that's totally fine too. Welcome. And so
you are welcome.
We do regret of the week.
Where you been, girl? Where you been? So I'll start. Sure, regret of the week.
Also, never leave.
Also, never leave. Miss you, love you, think you're the best. What's your name? I'll
tweet
butcher
me.
It. Okay. So Jessie's coming in hot. My best friend since kindergarten came to town. I'm so lucky. I have friends from kindergarten. I remember when I first saw her in kindergarten, I thought, that girl looks sad. How can I help her? And I helped her forever. I love her so much. She's my friend Megan. She's just true blue, and she's like a sister.
Okay.
To the point where she's like, I'm coming. I can't wait. Did you clean your sheets? And I was like, yeah. She's like, when? And I was like, okay, what's happening? But I am like a teenage boy, so I get it. But I'm also single and attractive. Okay. So she comes to town, and I'm a horrible host because I'm like, I don't know about New York. Like, I don't know what people want to do. I hate planning. I don't like.
You don't want people to come.
I truly don't come. But I get excited. But most of the time, I just like, I'm like, what do we do? Stay in my, anywho. So she comes and, you know, it had been a long week. And your girl, I'm so creative is the thing. I'm so creative that I am a actual mess. Like I am, when I'm having like a week, it's like my desk looks like somebody just died on it, vomited. There's mail from year. I'm like, I just throw it places and pray it disappears. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. I don't even want to open. What is Con Ed? Why do I should say don't send me it, but I'm just like,
That could be automated.
That can be changed. And that's something that I could do, but I'm going to choose.
It's like an extra step.
Come on. It's just a whole thing. So anywho, she comes. I'm like, welcome. And I was like, I'm so sorry. My room is a wreck. And then she was like, that's okay. Anywho, so then I kept saying it. We're sitting in the dark. There's no
it
big
is.
Deal, but
guys,
we
the
are
lights
sitting.
Just went
don't
out. Nice.
There
oh.
it is.
Oh.
Back.
No,
okay.
I liked it. I liked it. It was like
nice.
A ghost story. This is regretting,
like doing,
guys.
Doing a bat.
It's like very honest.
No, this is very honest. I don't want to see what I'm saying.
I don't want to see anything.
Anywho, so on Saturday when we were deciding what to do, my friend Megan was like, what if we organized your room?
Oh, my God. She's a saint.
Such
very
a saint.
Nice.
Such an offer that I went, what? She was like, what if we really get you organized for the week, organized for your life? You can, and like, it was the kindest gesture. But then after, like, you know, 6 hours, and literally my room is so clean, I don't know what to do. I was like, I feel really bad that we did this on a Saturday. But that's what a friend does.
Guys.
Did you take her out after?
Oh, yeah, we got drinks.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay, she got drinks.
And I made dinner.
But here's the thing. If you've been helping her her whole life,
I have.
It's time for her to turn the tables for it's 6 hours is fine.
Just six. I mean, just it was six. Almost a blip in time.
It really is.
And when I'm cleaning, I'm having fun. You know,
you know what?
I'm going,
she
what
was
is
going
this?
Through it in second grade.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You know,
yeah, you know
exactly.
what I mean? Second grade was tough. You know? Year. And it's just one of those things where you get it all with me. You get the mess. There's no hiding with me. You know, when you come, I'm not putting on a front. I'm literally still a wreck. And I'm like, hey, welcome to my room. Please don't touch that. That's leftover lasagna.
Yeah, exactly. That's a Con Ed bill from 2012.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So bless her. But, you know, I could have cleaned before and then just saved time. But that's okay.
But it's a regret of the week.
That's okay. It's a regret
also,
of the week.
And it wouldn't have been like the clean she would want probably.
Thank
you. So you kind of left it for her.
I did. Yeah.
So she could really control the clean.
She did.
And she did propose it. She did.
I
it wasn't me.
No, you weren't going to be like, let's clean our
room. I don't know.
Never.
My room are clean. It feels so much better. And she'd be like, do you want to clean? I was like, oh my God, what? Yes.
No.
I'm
going to
go out for a few hours, clean my room.
Yeah. Thank you. I left you a $2 tip. No.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was a, you know, but you did. It ended up with a positive thing.
Oh, I have such a clean room.
Her.
I love her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Positive, you know,
her.
A positive, okay. Positive space.
Right. It's positive. I feel good about it.
So my regret of the week is I was at a show recently and there was a political conversation. The host wanted a political conversation, which was wonderful. It wasn't like a bad, it was great,
who
good
doesn't?
Atmosphere, you know, but it was a lot of white men talking and that's it, not because it just, those were the people, it was like a little bit, but it, not
yeah,
calling,
I mean,
not calling any, you know,
we
good
love,
for them. They took, you know, it's fine. They took, I'm saying, no. It wasn't because they were like, I'm a white man, did you say something? It was because the host was like, we're going to do this, and people were nervous. That's what I want to make
they
that clear.
Should be.
It was like, you know,
absolutely.
You know, and God bless the host, you know. But he was like, we're going to do this, and it, you know, but, so I think they were just the ones who were like, okay, it's silent, well, you know. Mm-hmm. But after a few, I was like, a woman needs to, I really want a woman to get on in there.
Yes.
So I just was like, I'll raise my hand, don't know what the fuck I'm, you know,
yeah.
what's coming out of my mouth, what
you'll
I'm doing.
Find it.
And I sort of said something like, oh, you know, because I needed a woman. I can't, you know. And then I think inadvertently I made the other women in the audience. In my head, I was like, oh my God, I shouldn't have said that because I felt like I made the other women in the audience feel bad
Obligated.
For not jumping in.
Mm.
But I really meant like I like pounded one of the, you know, I was like pound, you know, we got to get you. But
yeah.
I didn't mean to make them feel bad. I just was like, women got to get it. But then I was like,
it.
That's so fucking annoying. And I just felt like. Mm.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Yeah, I made a, you know, joke, whatever. But like after the exchange, I was like, I don't know if I felt great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, I went in because I was like, it's a lot of men. No. And then I was like,
and then...
But was I rearing my head of
like maybe they were regretting they didn't do anything and you spoke your truth. See, here's the thing, guys. When you tell me your regrets, I'm gonna try to make you feel
better. Thank you so much.
I really can't hold it in.
No.
Thank you. No, it just
you shouldn't.
It felt sort of like a moment where I was like, did I come off the best? Was it the best? You know, I just didn't know. It just didn't, I don't think
well,
it came
off. The
bottom
line is everybody thinks about themselves.
Yeah,
so that's
true.
Yeah, and that, you know, those girls are like, well, I'm not a feminist. I said I was online, but I didn't really raise my hand. Like, you know, I mean, they're all in their own shit. So don't carry that.
No, it's very true. Them.
Leave it at home.
I tried to be like, woo! And then I was like, this is coming off wrong, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes you can't even hear what the person says at first, and then someone's coming at you with a fist, and you're like, okay.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
And you're also like, now are we creating a
club? And the girl with fist bump, you know, I love her. So I knew her, and it wasn't weird. It was I just felt, no, it wasn't a stranger. Yeah, I know her, but I just felt like I was trying. I panicked. I was like, fist bump.
Oh my god, of course. When in doubt, fist pump.
Panic fist pump is like important.
Yeah,
like that's like when most fist pumps are. Or is it a fist bump?
Is it a bump or a bump?
Guys,
well,
I don't
pump
know.
Bump is like this,
you're pumping.
Right?
No, I like bumped.
You bumped.
Did you explode after? Or did you just
no
bump?
Explode? We just exploded. But
okay,
I
always explode. I feel like that sort of signals like we are. And then you know what? You can jellyfish everyone at home.
I should have jellyfished.
And then you see what I'm saying?
Oh, I don't even know what that
is. Well, not everyone can see what you're
doing. I know. You're making
see what I'm
explosion,
saying, listener?
But then you're going back in. Explosion, back in.
So looks closing like and opening the fist.
Yes.
If you work
there
with kids at a camp, your son will love that.
All
there
right.
You go. Or your daughter.
Well, no, I'm having a boy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant you said if you work at a camp, so I thought you were talking to the if you audience.
A camp for only boys.
Caitlin is having a child and is having a boy.
Everyone thinks I'm about to give birth and I'm only 4 months.
So she was directing it directly at Caitlin, and I thought she was talking to the audience.
I'm having a huge boy.
I love that.
He's enormous.
Enormous.
It's like terrifying. But you know what? It's fine.
Half of it is personality.
I get that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I'd like him to be like a big, huge guy. I just don't want him to come out of me.
Yes.
And honestly, like my husband and I are not fan of white men in general, like the way they have been. And we were like, oh my God, we're creating one.
Your husband
is a white man. Yes. And so is my father, and so is our wonderful producer. Like, I really love a lot of them, but like, in
it's
the,
just
zeitgeist,
the zeitgeist,
they're
sure,
not
sure,
doing
sure.
great
no.
things.
Right.
So we were like, oh, geez, we really hope he's okay. But we're going to raise him to be a Nazi puncher.
Yeah.
Oh, like, you know, because
that.
Then you need one of those.
Yes.
That's a person.
It's going to be like a little fist babe. It'll
like he's going to fist pump, but in the eye.
He's such a little fighter.
You know, we're trying.
You're going to do it.
We are going to tell him, like, look, your time is not now.
No.
You were born at the time when men did have a lot of power, were like you, and now it's, like, offensive if you do anything. Oh, he's going to be so pale. He's going to look like a baby Nazi.
Oh,
really cute,
you guys...
but we are pale humans. And
And also, like, light. You have light eye and the
we're
Aryan
so
looking, you
it's
know.
It's a lot.
We're both half Jew. And then you put us together and I think we're going to have, like, a Nazi looking baby. But the thing is that we can't dress him in anything, like, preppy or, like, khakis, because then that's, like, a mini Trump supporter.
Yeah. No.
So we're getting him track suits or
we're
just trying to get him,
cute.
Like,
maybe
you know,
goth.
Denim.
Maybe a little gothness.
Yeah,
a
goth.
Chain or something.
Just something. Yeah, a chain,
just
some
a chain
eyeliner.
Eyeliner. What's
guy liner.
Not so bad. And I also think, like, I was going to say, oh, God, you just said he looks like a little... Can I be honest? Anyone could be a Nazi.
Really? Anybody
can
be a Nazi.
We really think, you know, but you can have a brown hair Nazi.
You totally can.
Oh,
there can be.
That's
you know, you know.
You can't judge a book by the cover.
You can't.
You
and
could.
Also, you could have a brown hair Nazi that then gets his highlights platinum. You know what I mean? Like, you could have somebody who's...
Oh, you're Justin Timberlake like in the
tips,
you know? And then you've got
tips.
White tips, and then you're singing
you
in a
really,
box like a puppet. And then you're off and you're running,
you know?
You know? Oh, remember that music video?
Yeah,
do you guys remember?
Creepy.
Oh yeah, the box.
So creepy.
So creepy.
I
and
remember.
Then I also remember when all the dance moves were like puppet hands,
yes.
And I was like, that is not attractive. Like I couldn't believe that was a dance craze.
Yeah.
Was like the creepy puppet. Your neck doesn't even work. It's like flopping. I was like, I don't think. That's
I will
good.
Say as a partner dance, so fun. Right? There's not just
with
the
puppets?
Reel and the fish. I'm saying if I'm just going like this, like my hands are literally.
Oh yeah,
just
and you're
fake,
making somebody
making
else
a
puppet.
I wouldn't know what
that's
you were
so
doing.
Fun.
I thought you were. I would thinking you were doing like a hand signal. I'm
like
are we gonna.
Jazz hands.
Like a theater like exercise. I'm like, are we mirroring?
Oh, we're
And we would have both been marionettes with no conductors with
maybe
no
puppet. I stand on a chair above him.
Yeah.
So
I mean, listen.
Maybe. I mean,
the early 2000s.
Oh,
I don't know how it's.
No,
and, and how are we ever coming back with those
we're
clothes?
Never. We're never
and you know what? Those clothes will never be repeated. You know, like 60s are repeated.
Oh, yeah.
70s
even
are,
90s with the baby tees a little.
Yeah, a little
with
bit.
The mid-dress.
2000s?
Come on.
Never.
Never.
Are you going to wear a denim dress like Britney? No.
No. Like the bell bottoms, but like that don't look good. Yeah.
No.
But also.
The flare leg.
We will. We'll definitely. There's no doubt in my mind.
You know
mind.
What? I never want to come back. Those low, low, low pants. The low, low jeans where it's yes. like you couldn't have anything in your stomach
for anyone
ever.
With a body. Yes.
My ass crack was always out.
Christina Aguilera yes. was literally just...
in like a yeah. bikini and chaps.
Oh yes. my God.
And that was a
the amount
legit
of shaving
look.
She had to do.
You guys.
She was getting fucking waxed left and
okay,
right.
Okay, she's
or
getting
laser.
Laser and lax.
Or electrolysis.
Laser and lax, I just said. Oy.
Electrolysis is most severe, you guys, and it
what
lasts
is that?
The longest.
Wait,
just
what is
so you know.
That?
They stick a little needle
no.
into all of your hair follicles.
No, fuck.
And they electrocute
no, fuck
them.
You. Can I say
and they
something?
What?
Electrocute them, and so it all dies.
Can
no.
I say something? You're,
say it.
The patriarch is making you get electrocuted.
Yeah.
One
yeah.
by one.
A
yeah.
woman
tiny by
is
one
voluntarily
by one.
Going in
but
going.
Guys, my mom did it, and she loved it.
Oh, she loved it?
Because she was like, I never have to worry about the hair for the rest of my life, because with lasering, it can come back.
Yeah.
Guys, which is just, if
no,
you ask me,
I
bad
can't.
Business, right? That's just bad business. We're like, oh, it comes back. Yeah. That's
great.
Okay.
Like, it's like, great no. business, like a chiropractor.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know what? We'll fix you, quote unquote. We'll see you in a couple
but
months.
But if you
your
walk
bed
or move,
it.
You're going to be hurt again.
Oh,
good
God.
Luck. Have a good life.
Enjoy. That's $300.
That's rough. So, Caitlin, I do. We could talk.
Oh, guys.
Always.
Oh,
the
this
days.
Is
we need to get.
Oh,
and I was like, we have a thesis.
Cut all of this.
No, we have a thesis. We're not going to cut. I just want to make sure we get to the thesis.
Oh, we're getting to the thesis. And we're recording this whole thing.
Yes.
Will it get cut?
Not
hope
our
not.
Choice.
You
I don't
can.
Think so.
Not our choice.
So, Caitlin, you know, you're here to
you're
really
here.
Tell oh. us your regret.
Don't
guys,
hold back.
I
or regrets.
So many regrets.
Ugh.
The second you asked me, I was like planning it. My husband's like, I got a couple for you. He like named a couple. And it was so funny. So there's so many regrets. The thing I was thinking, and it's, oh God, there's so many. So I'll just like rattle them off and you tell me
rattle.
What you want to talk about.
Okay.
Being obsessed with boys and never like getting out of this like obsession with boys. And so I could never really date or meet anybody real because I was like hung up on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Being bullied a lot. And then like even in college, like letting myself be bullied and then like not be my own person.
Leaning towards two.
Yeah. Drinking heavily. And then I had to get sober. But that's a happy ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, oh, never getting a bat mitzvah because I was so into and so I still feel very, very Jewish, but my dad's Jewish, so everybody says to me I'm not a real Jew, and it is like so heartbreaking. And I was like, you know, if I got bat mitzvah, I could tell everyone to shut up because I basically was trained by my bubby and poppy, so I have all the experience, but I didn't ever have the title. But that's kind of like, you know, whatever.
You could always get bat mitzvah, too.
Yeah, that's
yeah, really.
You could
you know
always
what?
Get bat mitzvah.
We've done things on podcasts. If we're bat mitzvahing you on this podcast,
we
we're
could.
Doing it.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
And then what else? Other things?
You know what? I feel happy I to say, too. I want to know about two. I want to know about college. Uh-huh. I want to know about what's happening, not being
Jesse
your
made
true
the choice.
Self.
Okay, I like
I
it.
I couldn't choose. It was too many good ones.
It was too
okay.
many good ones.
Okay.
But that felt like it was fresh.
It is. Well, I was thinking, okay, so I was I'm the firstborn in my family.
Mazel.
And then, thank you. Mm-hmm. And then it was my sister 3 years later, and then my brother 7 years later. So my brother's like 10 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just always wanted an older sibling because they just, they have your back.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you go into the school, they show you where to go. Like, I did mm-hmm. everything on my own. And my parents were like, my mom had me at like 21. Like,
wow.
she
oh,
was
wow.
so young. And so there were a lot of things my parents said. They'll say openly, like, oh, we made so many mistakes with you. Like, we
yeah.
just made, like, a million mistakes. And parents all make mistakes. But they were like, they will say, like, we...
You're a little mistake.
Yeah. I was a mistake, and then they made mistakes. It's all facts.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of, like, I had to figure things out on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I just was, like, always, like, a little bit nervous or, like, watching to see what other people in my classes were doing. And, like, mm-hmm. in second grade, I had so much anxiety. Every day I said I was... didn't feel well and was nauseous and had a stomach ache, went to the nurse's office to call my mother. She calmed me down, and then I'd go back to class.
Aww.
It was every single day.
Yeah.
And then one
She's
day...
She's like, Caitlin's calling.
I yeah. yeah. They're like, oh, it's 4 p.m. No, it was like 11. It was
yeah.
very early.
No, it's like 11. I just got there.
Yeah, I just got there. I just got there. Had my snack. Not going to miss snack
yeah, yeah.
or color.
I'm not a
and
monster.
Then I, no, yeah. I know. And then I call my mommy.
Yeah.
And then I remember one time, it was a nightmare time. The substitute and the teacher were there, and they both were like, oh, Caitlin always does this. Like, she had come... One of the teachers had, like, come in, and they wouldn't let me... go to the nurse's office, and my mom was at the school waiting for me because that day I was sick. But it was like I had anxiety, and like nobody diagnosed, nobody thought like this little kid with anxiety.
Yeah.
So I had dyslexia. Nobody thought what that was. We didn't realize I had dyslexia until I was in college.
Stop.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was really tough. So I always sort of like was sort of, I don't know if it's like I just wasn't as like confident and strong in school. Like I just felt
yeah.
like I was. Slow, like I, you know, being dyslexic, I was like in the slowest reading and,
yeah.
and spelling group, but then I was like good at math, but, and I was like very social. So I just never felt like very strong or like oh, I was bullied a lot too, and like it, every day. And so it was just that like cycle kept going.
Right.
And then when I got to, you know, high school, I had a lot of, middle school, there were a lot of mean, mean girls that I always wanted to like me, and I always wanted to be friends with these girls that did not care about me.
Right.
And then high school, I just felt like so lost, and I was like, okay, it'll be great in college. And then in college, I had this like really traumatic experience, and I fell into this group of friends because I just like wanted to feel safe.
Yeah. Right.
And they were mean people. And like one of the girls even said, like, Caitlin, you're like the scapegoat of the group. Like everyone will make fun of you. And when I confronted her with it, she denied it. And then when I told the whole group, they're like, this is outrageous. Like, it's coming from nowhere. And like,
are you in a firm?
No.
Interesting.
No, theater school.
Oh.
Yeah. And so then, but that was like a really great thing, because then like junior year, none of the friends, like I thought we'd all go together on this like European trip and like semester abroad, and none of them went. I went by myself.
Good.
That which was good. And at the time I was like really hurt because nobody really cared to go. Nobody, like, I wasn't in their like
crew.
No.
And they weren't like, we're going to miss Caitlin.
Yes, yeah, they did not care. Yeah. And then there was all this like stupid thing. We all lived in a house together, and like everyone's photo was on the wall, and they never fucking cared about mine. They never put my photo up.
Ew.
I know. Out of six people, I was like the sixth. And like, I'm like, guys, I live here. Like, I'm paying rent. Like, put my photo up. And like, I had to make a thing to make my photo up.
At least for rent.
At least for rent purposes.
At least for the landlord's sake. Okay. Put my picture
up. So that people can see that I come in. And it's like,
what's the point?
I know. It's
mean. What is the point of that?
What's the point?
I think it's a power thing. I think it's like, if you are somebody who maybe is insecure because you're a theater major anyway, you're like, oh, well, I'm better than her. And I remember, like, so my husband went to the same college. We were in the same class, but we weren't friends. And he was like, yeah, because you were friends with the mean people. Like, it was like, no. Yeah. And he was friends with the nice guys. And, like, they weren't, like, fancy and showy. And they weren't, like, the craziest or the biggest partiers. They were just, like, wonderfully nice and had a great college experience. And I was, like,
such a bummer.
I really wanted this group to, like, approve. Oh, there was even one guy in the group that I was, like, completely in love with because he was very confident. I mean, he was like fucking his girlfriend every night. I'd see her like walk around naked, but I still was like, I want you to love me. Like the amount of like need that I had was just such a freaking bummer. And now I literally don't care. And I don't know if it's because I cut off my tits or because I'm pregnant, I'm losing and gaining. Like, I don't give a fuck. And like when I met my husband, it was a month after we graduated from college, and we had one of his best friend is a very good friend of mine. We're all from Maryland, and so we were like, let's have a, quote, reunion because we're miserable and we don't know what to do with our lives. We're young kids out of college.
Yeah.
So we hung out, and it was, like, amazing. Like, a whole light turned on in my world, and I was like, oh, my God, this person's incredible. I can't believe I didn't know you in college. And just for him to legitimize me, like, oh, yeah, you were friends with mean people. I was like, oh, my God. Like, it just felt so good. And I really, like, never look back. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'll see them, and I'm like, wow, like, I don't want anything that you guys have. Like, I don't really want any experience that you guys have. They all still are friends, sort of. They're all, like, in a house in Brooklyn. And I'm like, that's fine.
Yeah.
But, like, I think for me, kind of having to, like, burn that bridge
really
helped me create more independence.
Yeah.
Because, like, to talk about sad stuff, I was, like, molested my first year in college.
Yeah.
And so I felt, like, even more terrible. Like, I was, like, not only I was, like, I didn't have an older sibling. I didn't feel like I knew what was going on. My bubby died. I mean, it was, like, a terrible year.
Horrible.
And so I really clung on to these people because, like, I didn't have any strength.
Yeah.
And then in college, I didn't have a good experience. I just, like, it wasn't a good experience. I learned a lot. I learned, like...
Well, I guess that's the point. I mean, okay.
so it's, you know, like, that's very good. Yeah,
that's,
I guess you learn a lot.
Take a positive.
Yeah, that's the positive. I learned a lot. But, like, I just was such a... sad person then, and like just sad because, like, not like feeling sad, of course I'm like a theater major, there's like all these feelings, but like feeling like I'm just like, if a kind of pathetic, like you don't want to use that word because people feel bad for you, but it's like kind of like I couldn't really get it together, and I couldn't stick with the nice people. Like, I don't think I deserved the nice people. Like, I just really wanted the meanies to like win them over, or to have them finally, like, you know, think I was great. And it was that was like really important to me, that like
isn't that legitimizing yourself too? Like, I feel like when people were mean, I'd be like, I better find a way to be like friends with them so they don't come after me. I don't want them to come after
that
me.
That too. I've had friends like that, and then they do come after
you. Oh, they do
come
after you. Eventually.
And then they know. Really, and then they get on top of that.
Eventually you're like, well, I've did everybody else, so they're after you now.
They're after you. But then, it was that thing of like, I think it was like, oh, I invested so much time with you guys, and I've been such a good friend to you. It can't be pointless. And sometimes it is pointless. Like, I think of, like, what I'm going to say. I honestly, I thought I was having a girl at first. We thought we were having a girl. And I was like, I think the most important thing, of course, all this stuff, like, love your body, you're perfect, everything's fine, women are the future. But also,
you know, the blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah, all the things you say. But also that, like, you don't, if it's not going well with a friend, you don't have to fight to make that person be the person you wish they were.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes people just aren't being that great, and they could have been great.
Yeah.
And even in my adulthood, even out of college, I had a friend that really, really hurt me, and she just, like, was just pretty terrible. And it, for a while, I was, like, so blown away that she wasn't the friend that she had been, that, like, she was treating me, and like, now she's, like, really terrible. But at the same time, it's like, you can't control them. You just have to keep going.
Friend breakups are really devastating.
Hard. Really hard.
They are devastating because that's supposed to be your structure.
Yes.
Like, that doesn't change. Or supposed to. And so I've had,
Well, also friend breakups ruin me. Yeah, in your 20s, it's like ride or die. There's not really like a stable man in your life. And you are just like all like puking on each other in a cab.
Holding each other's
hair. And like you really are like, you're my sister forever. And right after Sex and the City, like, so.
Sex and the City will it to you.
And Sex and the City makes us all think that they have to, you have to have
but
that.
But they weren't the best friends.
No. No, and also, like, realize. Charlotte. And I thought she was so annoying.
But also, Carrie was...
Everyone secretly hated each other.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think...
I was always like, Scarlett and Samantha don't hang out. Charlotte and Samantha don't hang out because actually they don't like each other.
No, and Samantha's always like, you're such a pussy. Yeah. Like, it's fabulous.
Yeah.
And then Miranda hates everyone, including
Miranda.
Her cleaning lady who loves her.
I know.
Carrie's the only one that everyone's friends with.
Yeah, but Carrie...
Like, a lot of pressure.
And Carrie's an idiot. Also very selfish.
Very selfish, very stupid. I mean, my husband...
But also, like, the show was fun.
I know, it was, like, fun and, like, margaritas. But, like... Oh, sorry, Cosmos. Where was I?
Where did I go there?
Who am I?
Yeah, the zeitgeist.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, the lights went out. No, but, like, my husband said that when... So we had, like, identical college experiences, but we weren't friends.
Oh,
he was this sad, too?
No. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Like, we, like, went through it all. So, like, when I was watching Sex and the City in 2005, he was, too. And he was like, you know
so
what?
He was just growing up at the same time.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, he's my same age is what I meant. But identical experiences, no, he had, like, good friends who, like, stood by him and taught him how to be a better man. It's incredible.
And I had the opposite.
And I didn't have that.
Yeah.
But.
Inadvertently, they taught you to not give up.
Yes. And so he was saying that, like, this is, like, not even interesting now. He just said he gave up on Carrie when she, like, dropped Aiden. He was like, she doesn't want happiness. And I just think that's so funny. He's like a young...
Aiden.
Well, yeah. And I think
because
of, like, a young guy in college to be like, you know what? If she doesn't want happiness, I can't watch this.
Yeah,
like, that's
exactly.
Adorable.
Yeah. And then he married him.
I love him. Guys, when I met him, I was like, oh, holy fuck. I need you in my life. Like, I need all of this as much as possible all the time.
And you... are literally birthing a child now. So I think it worked out.
I'm creating a mini boy. Oh, no. I thought I played it cool, and he's like, you're a trash. You're a mess. I mean, like a train wreck. Not a trash. Like a train wreck.
Trash. Yeah. I love trash. I love saying trash.
I mean,
trash,
I am trash.
He loves trains, and he likes when they get in a wreck. So
yeah, he loves it. Like, he can't look away.
It's exciting.
It's exciting.
Everybody loves a train wreck. I'll say that.
And he loves it. And I was like, no, I don't need a boyfriend. Like, I'm very chill, but, like, I'd cry a lot.
Right.
Well, it's that thing of you keep being presented with the same lesson until you learn from it.
Mm-hmm. So I think you marry it.
Yeah. But it's like, you're going to have people that are going to treat you like shit, and eventually you're going to go, you know what? I'm not going to be friends with people who treat me like shit. I don't deserve that. But until you want to learn that lesson, you're going to be treated like shit.
Yeah, I really did not learn that lesson, honestly, until I had my mastectomy.
Yeah.
Which is so crazy. Because
when you saw who stood by you?
I saw who stood by me. And then it was also like, I was in such a place where I needed help. Like, I just needed help. I couldn't be that friend that, like, lifts everybody up or is the one that goes the extra mile. I was like, it's time for them to help me. And this one girl said to me, I wasn't being a good enough friend after I had just come out of the hospital from having the most intense surgery. And I was in the car with my dad, and we listened to the message, and he's like, no, hang up. You don't need that.
Yeah.
And it was so awesome. I was like, you know what? I don't need that. Like, I don't need to make sure she's happy with me. Like, I stopped caring if people were happy with the way... I was like, I know I'm a very good friend. Yes. I know I love people. I know I care about my friends and we'll check up on them. And if something's crazy or I'm busy, they understand because they're crazy. Like, life happens. And I was like, if somebody, after you have an intense surgery and, like, you're literally, like, on medication, you can't handle it, and they tell you you're not there for them. And she made up all this stuff that, like, my husband and I were trying to, like, pick at her life and all, like legit crazy. And I was like,
she's going through a little something.
Yeah, I was like, we're done. We're finished.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I was younger, I probably would have tried to make her like me again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wanted to make every, and I don't care.
Once you all, you also went through something very traumatic.
Yeah. But it was also like such a big deal that there is that thing of like, and I think it happens when you have somebody important in your life die, or when like you have a crazy breakup or a blessing or whatever it is. Like you go like, oh, this is important and this is not important. Like as you get older, sadly, more tragic things happen to you, intense things, and you can really legitimize. Well, it looks, you can really look at people for who they are, and you the energy of trying to be everybody's best friend isn't there. And then I'm pregnant. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Oh my God, being pregnant is great. Ugh. I do not care. Like, I don't have time for any bullshit. And like,
not caring is not always a, it's fun.
It's kind of great.
It's sort of fun.
Like, why, like, yeah, I want to be a good person, but then the pressure I put on myself, I literally don't care. And then I get exhausted. I have to take a nap. Like, I don't even have time to stress about something because I'm like, I got to nap. The baby's making me nap. Like, it's kind of great.
The baby is making me nap.
I blame that bae.
I'm blaming him all day, all night.
Yeah.
No, I mean, after, literally. Yeah. That's the best. I mean, even when you have a, we do that when you have pets. We're like, we can't. Yeah. I mean,
like,
to have
I'm
a baby inside your stomach, please.
Oh, I love it.
I love it for you.
Thank you.
I do. I love
it. You can borrow him when he comes out.
I will be.
And just be like, sorry, guys, Caitlin's baby.
I'll be like, he will be punching Nazis, though, so we do have to, we are nervous.
Yeah, you have to be careful around that.
I literally can't wait to hold him.
He's going to be great. He's moving around a lot.
Is he?
A ton. And the lady I talked to said it was the lady I talked to, the doctor. This lady on the street.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say the nail, the nail lady said.
The technician. The doctor was like, oh, that's like a great sign. He's really healthy. But I'll tell you, the checkout guy in Gristiti's said I was having a preemie and he might be at least a month immature. And he goes, and when I'm right, you're going to come back and tell me. And I was like, he was almost 21. I don't even think this guy, like, I don't even know if he has a driver's license.
He was, like, flirting with you in a weird way.
It was gross.
Yeah.
And I was like, thank you. Yeah,
what? That's what I've heard, too, with pregnant women. That they get. Just people are so invasive.
So invasive, but also so flirty. Like, I've had more catcalls and more people checking me out. Is that, can I ask
they
questions?
Know that you're sexually active.
Yeah. Or is well,
that,
yeah. But is it's also, like, I'm occupied.
I
like,
don't know.
You won't
you're
get,
occupied.
But, like, you won't get something from this. Like, you know, isn't that, like, the... The
I
thing
think
of like
it,
your,
I don't
but
is it
know.
Is it like nature, you know,
well,
sort of like
nature would
it's
be,
like caveman of like I see a woman can reproduce, so I'm gonna like.
But that's what I'm saying. But it's
them.
Like you can't put another one in me. Yeah. I already got one. The egg's caught.
Maybe there's safety in that. Maybe there's like you know what?
It's like that one will come out, and when it does, I want to be
I'll
online.
Stick a new one in. But it's like, then do you want to deal with, you know, the, having to share your son with another half-brother?
Can I say, oh my God. You know what? I don't understand the logic a lot of times behind any catcalls.
No.
Yeah,
and
there is
so,
no logic.
So
no.
Really, you know, even the pregnant catcall, really, we're doing, what are we doing here?
The pregnant catcall is so funny because I'm just like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I don't care about anything now. And now I'm just like, oh, yeah, I'm pregnant. Go away.
Yeah.
I'm
move out of the way.
Protective of pregnant women. I will say that. On the subway, I'm always like, do you need a seat? Like, this man will give you his, like, I'll just offer
I almost
seat.
Tapped him on the shoulder and was like, can you get up? Because
yeah, it's
it
crazy.
Was three
it's crazy.
Guys,
it's
three
insane.
Guys sitting and staring at me. The only people that get up are women.
That's what she just said.
That is exactly
it's true.
What gets me so.
I've seen men every now and then for
and
old.
Guy,
I've seen men every now and then.
And this guy was in a suit looking at a catalog for babies. So I'm like, bitch, you have a baby.
Yeah.
You saw it come out of your wife.
Yeah.
Or whoever.
You were
whoever
a baby.
You're fucking.
Bottom line.
You came out of a vagina. That's the number one thing. It's like all everyone in here came out of a vagina.
Everyone in here.
But can I tell you, my biggest fear might be a regret one day. I'm so afraid of giving birth. I'm afraid of it, guys.
It's scary.
And my friend who was a nurse was like, oh God, you have no idea how painful it'll be. And I just burst into tears. I was
drugs.
Like, don't
but
tell
also,
me.
But also.
Drugs.
I know.
But also, why did. That
but
friend
that's what
should
people
just
tell you. Like people want to tell
that
you
friend,
how terrible it'll
yeah,
be.
Yeah, but are they on the right drugs? Because I think that you are going to be
flawed. But still, she felt terrible, and then she started crying. So I was like, she is a very good friend. But like,
it came out. And she's like, wrong move.
Like she was like, I want to warn you. I'm like, you don't need to. Actually, no one needs to warn me. Like when it happens,
it'll happen.
My body will break open, and I don't know if I'll come back. And like, then we'll heal it together.
Yeah,
Snow White.
Oh my God,
I do. I can understand because just the fear, just because
so
my boyfriend's family is very, the babies are very, very large and they're very large. And I'm planning to have a child someday.
Cool.
No, with him.
With him.
I'm saying someday it will be with him.
In the future. Yeah.
As of today. If we break up, this will be regret that I said that. No, but
okay.
It has been discussed.
You can cut it out.
And you're looking at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Eventually. I mean, the idea is, you know, but my fear is, that they it will
it'll be
ruin
enormous.
Me.
So here's the thing. So they measure you this when is, the birth yeah. is happening. Ooh, so they can tell you if it's crazy up. Or not.
What do you mean?
Like, like insanely big. Like, let's say the baby is like an enormous, like 11-pound baby. Yes. They would say, you know what, we got to do cesarean because you can't get it through that.
Yeah.
You know? And so I
think my nephew was in the tens.
Did he come out of the vagina?
And I don't.
I got. I believe.
I
believe.
I think. And Matt's sister was in the tens. I think. Yeah.
So I'm gonna be on drugs immediately.
Yeah.
Like it's fine. I mean, and they say like you know like you don't. So many reasons not to do drugs. I'm sure somebody will tweet at me that I'm a monster.
What are they?
But it's fine. Everybody does. Also,
we're all
if
doing
you have
drugs
a
now, okay. Yeah. I'm high on cocaine. I'm yeah. not. Cocaine. I'm sorry. That's not funny.
But if you have a little, but if you have a cesarean, you have to be on drugs anyway.
You do.
So I'm like, so wait, so like only, and those, and I was a cesarean baby, and I'm not
me too,
that crazy.
Blast. No, yeah. I was too, because once your mother
you
has
out,
once you go see,
one,
you never go back.
Yeah, true. You can't go back. So no, my true. Sister was a cesarean, so I was as well. Yeah. So yeah, once yeah. you do that, you can't go back.
I'm so afraid of my vagina exploding. And then the thing is I'm just going to like talk to the doctor and be like, if it does, you have to stitch me up so fast, I want to be
but
a virgin.
But that's what's so crazy is like, they have to
you
they
do that,
stitch
right?
your vagina.
Stop
they
it.
They fold it all. They stick it all back in. Sorry.
No.
Jess might vom.
I
yeah.
might.
Vom.com. But what I'm saying is I want it to be, Jess's vagina is crying. It just sent me an email from Jess's vagina. Please stop. No, but I'm going to request that everything is high and tight at the end.
High and tight.
I mean, as crazy as tight as you can get.
High and tight in a mimosa
oh,
in hand. I mean,
tie it in a bow.
But also, we have to remember, and I just want to say this
it's
as a way to tell you, no, everybody does it.
What?
It's true.
Everybody has done, like, not everybody does it, but like,
we all came
have
out
been,
of it.
We all, and back in the dizzy,
I would have died.
There were no drugs.
Oh, you back know, in the day, I would have died.
And we're all here because thousands, you know, how
yeah,
thousands.
So many other women died so we could be alive.
But so many women before us, or so many people before us have had birth.
Ugh,
and that's why
it's
we're here.
Birth, and this is you know.
No,
that's
happened.
What does relax me when I think about it.
What relaxes me is that the doctors see this all day and all night. This is my
yes.
So it's new for me. It's my first time, and I'm terrified. But this is like they go to their 9 to 5. They wash
I know.
Up. They go to work. Like that actually made me feel good about my mastectomy because I was like, oh my god, this is such a big deal. And literally, my doctors were like, I just did one this morning. Like
yes.
they literally, it's not. It's their job. They don't look at it with the same preciousness.
They're looking
that we
at you,
look
being
at
like,
it.
You go on a stage,
like, and they're
exactly.
like, oh my god,
like, how do you tell a joke? I'm like, how do you pull a baby out of a vagina.
Yeah.
So
I rely on them.
Yeah.
But then I rely on those drugs.
Yeah.
You gotta rely on those drugs. Also, like, it's good to know, you know, emotions can run haywire in
oh,
the
yeah.
sense of, like, you are you
mm-hmm.
and you be you.
Well,
and
I told everyone I'm a highly anxious person.
Absolutely.
And I have suffered from depression, anxiety, so they're gonna watch me before and after
yeah.
if I have
postpartum.
I'm gonna have it.
I already have it.
Yeah. I truly already I already have it. Every time I poop, I have
yeah.
it. I'm
yeah,
just,
it's
like
I've lost something.
Yeah.
I have it. I already know I do. It's
I
just like it's gonna have. I'm gonna have prepartum.
All
I'm gonna
the
have postpartum.
See,
it's always I'm
yes.
pardoning and mm-hmm. I can't.
I mean, I think the anxiety of
are you allowed to take those drugs when you're pregnant?
Well, I'm taking Zoloft, and Zoloft is one of the tier. Well, I was on Prozac for years. It didn't work anymore. Luckily, Zoloft was working, and I went on it 2 years ago thinking, like, I do want to have kids
yeah.
one day. So, or maybe
and
it was a year and a half ago.
You can have
and that's the one you can have. Right. And I've, like, talked to a million doctors, and they were like, you know what? But to be fair, there's not, like, incredible evidence, because for these medications, you need to have sort of a control and, like, a lot of
yeah.
experiences. They're like, no pregnant woman who doesn't need Zoloft wants to take Zoloft
right.
to be a part
right.
of the control or whatever.
Yeah.
or to be a part
yeah.
of. So they're like, it's really hard to find, like, a focus group. But so many babies are okay that are dealing
yes.
with it. And I was like, you know, if my baby's a little bit more chill, like, that helps me.
Yeah.
Like if he's, like, a little Zolofty, that's great.
I need a chill baby.
I need a chill baby.
I mean, I think that's the thing I'm scared of, too, because I'm a very anxious person as well,
mm-hmm.
that I'll get pregnant and I'll be like, oh, and now I'm worried about this thing. Then I'm worried
yeah.
about this thing. Then I'm worried, and then I won't ever just relax.
But you will, though, because you get so tired. That's the best. That's actually, like, the blessing of having a baby and a book at the same time, because if things don't go well with the book, once I overslept through an interview, like, if, you know, if you fuck shit up,
yeah.
you're like, oh, God, but now I got to go eat a sandwich because the baby's hungry. Like, literally,
yeah.
like your time and space is split immediately. Like, I cannot, I can agonize and stress over everything, but when
yeah.
you have two huge things at the same time, it's okay. It's just, like, write a book and then get work.
Yeah.
It's like, that's, like, it's my trip.
I'm going to do it.
But it's great because I can just... Also, I napped twice today.
No.
Yes, you guys. I am so tired.
How long do you nap?
I mean, like, an hour and a half, sometimes 3 hours. Oh my God, I
today
love
was just an hour and a half. Think about a half
like,
hour.
I'm just thinking about like women who are, and shout out to you know, you for doing
this. Oh, women
and
who
shout
work?
Out to women work, but work like all the time until shout like out. The minute they pop
I know.
Out.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
100% yeah. not me. Oh. And also like I would just be a basket case.
Yeah.
Also, you do like the pregnancy brain is such a real thing. Like your brain is, there's less oxygen going to your brain because oxygen's going to the baby. There's more blood going to the baby. Like everything's changing. So you actually like are not as smart as you were before. And so I space out and a lot of times I forget what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I have that already. I'm already pregnant. It's like
I love it.
Been a pregnant
Can we
woman.
Hang out?
Yes.
Yes.
And I am, truly.
I will say like it's hard because like, you never want anyone to use it as ammo, right? So it's yes. like when you talk about your period, you don't want people to use it as ammo. Be no. like, well, that's why women can't be president. Because, you know. But it is true. Like, I think even when you have your period, you're sort of like, I don't remember.
You're occupied.
You're
like,
yeah.
I feel like, and your body's
I think
occupied.
It depends. And I think that, listen, being preoccupied can help.
Well,
if
yeah.
If I'm in a war and then I decide to have coffee and then someone's like, do we pull the thing? And I go, do it. And I'm talking about the sugar. I don't care. Point is, if they can rip my body open, if I can be depressed for months, if there's going to be, yeah. if he's taking my blood, my goddamn oxygen, anything else, yeah. my fucking thoughts, and I'm still walking and living and breathing.
You're doing well.
I can fucking run a country.
No, yes.
Blow a bomb.
No, all of that is true.
Yes.
But like,
I'll blow
I
a bomb.
Do though. She can blow anyone
no, yeah, yeah.
with a bomb without
saying,
a bomb.
We're
no,
not saying.
You
we're
can
not
still
the
get blowjobs when you're yes. pregnant. You can still fuck.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is like.
We're not the ones saying
no,
that.
No, no, no.
I was saying
what
people
I,
say.
Yes. We support your blowing.
Yes. Please blow.
But what, it's important. But what I love is that when people are like, oh, do you need anything? I'm like, yes. I need everything.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to help me, I'm like, oh, sure, sure. You can help me. Like, I let everyone help me. Before it was like, oh, no, no, I didn't want to be too yeah. much trouble. And now I'm like, well, there's a baby in me, so we're both, it's like trouble for two.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
it is too much trouble.
Me. You're helping him.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, like, I need that. And it's like, give me your seat on the subway.
Yes.
Be nice to me. Hold the door open. Don't let it slam on my unborn child.
Yes.
Okay? I'll take your ice cream.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
man.
I do love it. So I am using it to my advantage because no one's going to be this nice to you because after you have the baby, everyone's mean.
Is that true?
Well, everybody says you're not doing it right. You
oh.
know,
yeah,
everybody
yeah,
tells
yeah.
you how to be.
You're going to be such a good mother.
We're going to make fun of this baby so much. Yeah. I get, we already are. We're like, you're an idiot.
We'll have nothing on him. He'll be like, I get worse at home. Thank
I know,
you.
I know. We're just going to laugh at him all the time. We'll be like, oh, you think that's real? It's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
Santa,
that's
guess what?
That's
yeah, no. I can't you're
wait.
Doing literally God's work is
you
what
really
well,
are.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. But, and also, you don't have to have boobs to make a baby.
You do.
That's the moral of the story.
Yes.
Hello.
You do not have to.
You can cut your tits off and you can still be really fertile.
Yeah.
Of course.
Because I was afraid that like it was like with no boobs and it would be like less estrogen
oh.
and like maybe it would be harder to conceive. No, happened like immediately.
Oh, yeah.
It like happens so fast.
Mazel.
Yeah.
Listen, we shocked. You know.
When you got it. You got it.
You got it. My body was like, okay, we lost two tits. We yes. need to put a boy in there.
Yeah. I mean, I think, and like, you know, a lot of people. Yeah, put a boy. Yeah.
Put
I
a boy.
Think, you know, pregnancy stirs up a lot of feelings for
a lot
people.
Of feelings. A and also, so. Have you guys had this where people say, like, oh, if you want to have a baby, you got to start now?
No, I don't.
Have you had that bullshit?
What does that even mean?
People are like, oh, because it takes so long to make a baby.
Yeah.
It's some people can't get fertile right away. And so they scare the fuck out of you.
They're like, it's like a thing of, like,
start
if you're
trying now,
yeah.
so that if it doesn't work, you can do in vitro and blah, 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 and it's
well,
like
it's a conversation of like you know it's the same thing of like why aren't you married soon? Because if you're not married soon, you can't get
you
it,
can't
you know,
get
and then you're gonna be later and it's gonna be bad.
And it's like
and
get out of
whatever.
My vagina.
Yeah,
like get out of my
first
business.
Of all, don't go into my vagina.
First of all, get
it's
out of there.
Occupied.
But everyone,
thank
it doesn't
you.
Matter. It's whatever stage of life you're at. Someone's gonna be like you're
yes.
not doing that.
Yes.
But you're supposed to be doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why aren't you doing that?
And you're
that?
Like, but you don't have any hair. You're pulling out your hair for fun. not for cancer reasons, for,
no.
you know, for anxiety.
Oh my yeah. God, of course, of course. Not that as well.
Yeah.
Bless.
Truly
blessed.
But you know, yeah, everyone is going to, because it's like, oh, you don't have a boyfriend, then you get, or you don't have a partner, then you get a partner. And then, oh, you're not married.
When
you oh, and then
it?
You don't,
yeah.
then,
you don't
oh,
have
you
a dog.
Have a kid?
Oh, you don't have a rental in your house. Yeah. Yeah, it's like a whole
don't
thing.
You want to buy a home? How are you going to live in New York and not buy a home?
We won't.
Yeah. No, this is a renter's market. And if anyone gets anything from this podcast, let it be that this is a renter's market.
Yeah, you heard it from Jess.
That was the
Jess
most,
J.
That was the most
this
important
really
thing
the,
I think that
the
was said.
Thesis. Regrets that we ever thought about owning.
Fine. Why would you?
No.
Why would you? Not in this day and age.
Mm-mm,
so
never.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Oh my God.
Do you want to plug your book one more time, please?
It's a great book, guys.
Yeah.
Let me just say. It's just a fun book. It's a quick read. It's called Dangerous Boobies. Yeah. It's for anybody who thinks you might have the BRCA genetic mutation. It happens in 1 in 40 Ashkenazi Jews. So, l'chaim.
Okay.
And that's it's us. Good to look at. But also, like, it can be really overwhelming. Cancer stuff's really overwhelming. Yeah. And if you've seen somebody who's lost a battle to cancer, it's so much. So this is not that. this is supposed to be an easier, softer way to talk about a really intense topic.
And you did it.
You can always ask me questions. Anybody can. You can Facebook me. Tweet me. Yeah, you can Instagram. Any question, because the thing is, I felt very alone in my process, and I don't want anybody else to feel that alone.
That's wonderful. So, again, also, you. Again, right. Doing more of God's work.
Doing more.
Again.
More after more.
Bless you both.
I can't
thank
wait to read
both.
It myself.
So, thank you.
I can't wait.
Yes, we're very excited. It just came out, so we got to get our hands on it.
It better be made for a dyslexic, is all I have to say.
Oh, girl, it is.
Okay.
It's a text message.
Yeah.
It's perfection. Right.
Thank you so much, everyone. You know, it's regretsville.
Go out there and live your life and have regrets.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit ForeverDogProductions.com.